This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you're a fan of space flicks, you know, and who isn't, the plot of the new movie, A Space Program, is going to make you feel pretty familiar. As the movie theater's lights, you know, the lights go down, two astronauts suit up for the grueling trip to Mars. There's a tense landing scene as the commander pilots her craft onto the Martian surface. The astronauts collect rock samples. They suffer, equipment failures. They even discover life. But there's something different about this movie, this space movie. Everything in it, from the Mars lander to the spacesuits to mission control, they're all handmade, do-it-yourself. Those slick astronaut suits, they're made out of Tyvek, you know, the stuff you wrap houses in. The Martian red surface is red-painted plywood. And the piloting interface on that Mars lander, it's an old Atari video game, you know, with a little hand controller. That's because A Space Program really isn't a big-budget Hollywood space movie like The Martian. It's a video of a live performance by the do-it-yourself sculptor Tom Sachs. In 2012, Sachs and his team of studio assistants took over Manhattan's Park Avenue Armory. They brought in their own astronauts, their own mission control, their own rockets, even their own scientists. And in front of a live audience of art fans, in a giant old red brick building, Tom Sachs and his team went to Mars. The movie A Space Program documents their performance, and it opens today in New York. Sculptor Tom Sachs joins me to talk about it right here in our studios in New York. Welcome to Science Friday, Tom.
Thanks, Ira. Thanks for having me.
I feel such a kinship with fellow geeky person.
Yeah, we're bricoleurs.
So you built your own space program from scratch. Does that make you like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or Richard Branson? Or
I think it makes me a little bit more successful than those guys.
Because?
Well, I've been to Mars. Elon will probably get there, and not all of those guys will. And we all have the same problems of engineering, life support, fundraising, and public relations.
So you never let any of that stuff get in your way.
No.
Yeah, you just went out and did it.
Absolutely. I've always wanted to make perfect things, and I realized at one point I could never make anything as good as an iPhone, but Apple could never make anything as crappy as one of my sculptures.
I'm going to let that sink in for a second. What is it that attracted you? You just sat down one day and said, I want to go to Mars. That's my next project.
I've always been interested in the space program and the things that define us as human beings. Landing on the moon was kind of the greatest art project of all time, a military scale operation done for public relations. So in a way, it's a lot like art. It doesn't have a real function other than winning hearts and minds. But in the process, we got microcomputers and cell phones. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've always admired that, and I've made sculptures and things that I haven't been able to buy my own space program, or they don't exist, or I couldn't afford my own space program. So I just went ahead and did it.
Hey, that's just the right thing. That's just terrific. There's a moment in the movie, A Space Program, where your astronaut is attempting a very difficult landing on Mars using this Atari video game. And it's a very tense moment. Were you surprised about how real that felt? I mean,
because
what happens if she doesn't land it?
Well, that was one of the most terrifying moments of my life, because we had a live audience and Commander Marianna Reno had been practicing for weeks, and it was very difficult. The controls were reversed. It was a nightmare. Everything was breaking. And she had practiced, but not enough. So our stakes were real. If she had crashed, we would have stopped the mission and prepared and performed our funeral pageant, which was a nightmare, miserable thing, and luckily we never had to do it live, where we hired a Nixon impersonator to read the speech that William Safire had written in the event that the ascent rocket would not ignite and Aldrin and Armstrong were marooned on the moon. And he read it, and our Nixon impersonator was not great. And luckily, we did not ever have to air this video, so no one will ever see it, we hope.
So she landed, and all the performances, she was successful in all the landings?
Every time.
Wow.
And
that's the right stuff.
Exactly. Grace under pressure.
Wow. In the movie, you introduce us to your astronauts, but you also introduce us to your favorite building materials like plywood.
Plywood is the queen of all building materials. The bulk of space program is made of 3/4-inch, 7-ply, AC fir plywood. Plywood is a sandwich, a delicious wood sandwich. Plywood is more flexible and generally stronger than lumber of the same species and dimension.
I love plywood like you do. You have to be a wood person to understand, and you obviously understand plywood.
Well, that's the voice of Pat Manakia, the great Pat Manakia, and his. We all appreciate plywood and what it can do. It's the democratic wood. It's stronger and lighter and easier to work with than any other material.
And the spacesuits were made out of?
They were made out of FedEx envelopes, Tyvek, which is a flash-spun, non-woven fabric, and super strong stuff. But it's important, just like plywood, that it's a familiar material. There's nothing that we use is exotic. Everything is from Home Depot.
And you even had a working spaceship internal cooling system.
That's right. We had a thermal cooling layer because the astronauts would tend to overheat. And when the cooling layer failed, and it does fail in the movie, our astronauts would get very cranky. And that was always something we're trying to avoid, keep them cool.
Absolutely. And you got some response from NASA people who'd seen your space program. Did they get it?
NASA's a gigantic organism. My NASA guys totally got it. They said to me, they knocked on the door, Greg Vane, whose title is something amazing like Chief Explorer of Solar System. And he's a big guy at JPL and a friend and how I met Kevin Hand. And he said, we think you shouldn't go back to the moon, that you should go to Mars. And I said, well, sure, how are we going to do that? And he said, well, for example, your lunar space program, your moon is a ball of gray duct tape. If you take red duct tape and cover that gray ball, now you have Mars. And we will help you philosophically figure out the details. And we wound up having a fantastic exchange program, a residency, where they came to my studio, Tommaso Rivellini and Adam Stelzner and Kevin Hand and then I would go to Pasadena back and forth.
Well, look, with that introduction, let me bring Kevin Hand on. And Kevin isn't just an astrobiologist in your movie. He is an astrobiologist at NASA, and he's deputy chief scientist for solar system exploration at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He joins us from JPL today. Welcome back to Science Friday, Kevin.
Hi, Ira. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Kevin.
How's it going?
Well, just to get warmed up, let me play for you a scene from a movie that your team actually discovers life on Mars. And here's Kevin Hand announcing the discovery.
Mission Control, this is BioLab. Please confirm that you see a clear image of what we think is a second sample of life in our universe.
We have confirmation of life detection.
Wow. So there is life on Mars. Kevin, how did you get roped into Tom's space program?
Through my friend and colleague, Greg, as Tom mentioned. And then I just find a lot of inspiration scientifically in art. And Tom and I discovered we were kind of kindred spirits. And he's sort of like my artistic alter ego, I'd say.
And so what attracts you to Tom's art in particular?
You know, it's interesting. When I first met Tom and was introduced to his art, I was kind of like, what is going on here? and then I sort of got to understand that really it's about process. You played a little bit of the plywood video. I love that video. Tom is all about process and the discipline of process and craft. So everything he does is so kind of meticulous but there's this incredible balloon of creativity on top of that. So I really like his emphasis on process, and I think that's part of what attracted him to NASA in general, is that at JPL, at NASA, everything is about process and being very meticulous. But out of that comes these amazing achievements.
And Tom, you did spend a lot of time out there at JPL. What did you take away from that experience?
So many things, including the material known as Vectran. but specifically or philosophically, I was a D-minus student who did ninth grade twice, unlike Kevin, who got to go to the best schools in the known universe. But I learned that scientists and artists have kind of the same job. They have a gut feeling about something, then they have to go out and prove it and bring it to the world. So I thought that Kevin and Tommaso and Greg and Adam all worked hard to develop a constant flow of information to prove their ideas and make sure that they'd work in real life. And it starts with a gut feeling, an idea, a flash of inspiration, and the rest is hard work. Mm-hmm. So that when we say in the studio, creativity is the enemy, what we really mean is you just need a little bit of chili pepper to flavor the whole stew. The rest is hard work and stirring it.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, are there similarities between what Tom is doing as a sculptor and what you're doing as a scientist?
Absolutely. The sort of common denominator is, of course, creativity. As a scientist, you're really only as good as the questions you can come up with, and that's rooted in your own creativity. But then, with that chili pepper, as Tom says, you gotta know the process, and science is a process. And creativity, whether in science or art, is useless without a discipline of process and craft.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International, talking with Tom Sachs and Kevin Hand. And Tom is a sculptor. And the movie Space Program documents a performance that he did here in New York. It's opening today in New York?
At the Metrograph Theater, the new theater on Ludlow and Canal.
Wow, you got to go see this. One of the things, I think NASA has two great achievements these days. One is the Hubble Space Telescope, but the other are the rovers that are all over Mars. But they're not people on Mars. Were you thinking, Tom, that this is a way to get people away from just thinking about robots on Mars and what people would be doing on Mars?
Of course. I had a meeting at NASA headquarters where they turned down funding this mission, my space program, and I did my best Don Draper, and I thought I had him for a second when I said that robots aren't sexy because they can't reproduce. They're just robots. But you get people on the planet, then you can imagine yourself in their eyes, and that's why we love Hollywood actors, because they are us. And that's why it was important to bring people to Mars. Still, it's hearts and minds. And Kevin said a minute ago that you're only as good as the questions that you ask. And I think that's 100% true in art. You can have the best craft in the world, but if it doesn't mean anything, it's no one cares. And the big questions and the difference between a rocket scientist and an engineer is that a rocket scientist uses the tools and hardware to answer these big questions. Are we alone? Where did we come from? Right. And these are the questions that science and religion are on a parallel course to trying to understand.
So Tom, where is your space program going next? You've conquered Mars. Where is the next stop?
Well, the end of the movie, the astronauts resolve their differences in the tea house, and they perform a traditional Japanese tea ceremony. So opening Tuesday night at the Osamu Noguchi Museum, we have Tom Sachs, the tea ceremony. And you will see the astronauts' equipment mixed with a tea ceremony, tea garden sculptures, and 500 handmade tea bowls as a continuation of the mission.
But in space, where do you want to go next?
Well, I think Kevin can answer that.
Kevin, you got a special favorite spot?
Absolutely. The ocean worlds of the outer solar system, worlds like Europa and Enceladus and Titan, and Europa in particular is, in my opinion, one of the prime places to search for living life. So Tom and I have been brainstorming on that, all of the possibilities there. And I should mention, this is all sort of on my personal time.
So, Tom, you're taking your plywood and your Tyvek to Europa next?
Well, we have a landing or a launch scheduled for September 15th in San Francisco at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, where we'll be landing two astronauts on the surface of Europa. We'll be drilling through the icy crust, fishing for life that lives or swims beneath the icy crust in the ocean of Europa. We'll be extracting, killing, and eating these, abducting, killing, and eating these local residents.
Wow. I can't wait. I wish you both great luck, great success. And we'll have you back after, okay, when you're done on Europa, you'll come back and visit.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
Right. Tom Sachs.
Thanks,
you're welcome. Tom Sachs, sculptor and creator of a space program. The movie A Space Program opens today in New York again.
At the Metrograph Theater.
In Brooklyn.
Oh, no, and in Manhattan.
In Manhattan.
On Ludlow and Canal, new
there
theater.
Right.
It's a great place.
Great. Kevin Hand, Deputy Chief Scientist for Solar System Exploration at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Ira.
Good
see
luck.
You, Tom.
Good luck
Thanks.
With Europa,
Thanks,
too.
Kevin.
And you can see pictures
it.
Of some of Tom Sachs' space programs on our website at sciencefriday.com/space program.